Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
All right, Psalm 18. Someone say Psalm. Psalm 18, verses 19 says, "He brought me out into a spacious place." Someone say spacious place. "He rescued me because he delighted in me." I've always loved wide open spaces. You know, whenever I feel stressed or if I felt overcome or overwhelmed or frustrated or carrying something too much, you know, there's something about getting out into spacious places. Something about going into the outdoors, going outside, going to a beach, a park, to the mountains that I love, just getting out into spacious places because it's good for the soul. You know, the Hebrew word for spacious is the word ravach. The word ravach. You know, that word means more than just wide open spaces. The meaning of that word in this scripture literally means to be refreshed or to breathe again. And I don't know what your season has been like. I don't know how you find yourself here tonight, but maybe you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed. Maybe you're in a season that seems a little bit too much of pressure or heavy, but can I tell you tonight, there's something about when you get into the presence of God, when you come into His presence, that He's able to refresh you and maybe just breathe on you. You see, everything about God is always trying to get us closer to the bigness of who He is and the bigness of His plan for our lives. Think about this. He led Abraham to the stars. He led Noah across an ocean. He led Moses through the Red Sea. He led Joshua to the promised land. He led Joseph to a nation. And He led Elijah to a mountain. You think about this, and He leads us to these large spaces and these large places to show us, to bring us, to strengthen us, to stretch us, to broaden us, to change our perspective, that we can see more, that we can become more, that we can do more, and that we can be more. Everything about God is wanting to enlarge us. So what I want to talk about tonight, the title of my message is Enlarge Your Asking Capacity. Enlarge your asking capacity. John 14, verse 13 and 14, this is Jesus speaking, and He says, "I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." How large is your asking capacity when it comes to God? How much do you think you can ask for? How much do you think you can, you know, step out and ask? Is there a limit on your asking when it comes to the things of God? You know, when I was 8 years old, all I wanted in an eight-year-old little mind, an eight-year-old little body, all I wanted as an eight-year-old was Optimus Prime. Okay, now Optimus Prime, he's one of the Transformers. You know, the little robots that change into cars and then into robots. Yeah, I wanted an Optimus Prime because as an eight-year-old, that was the biggest thing in my world that I could think of asking for. And this was back in the 90s, people. This was when the Transformers were cool for the first time. You know, when they first come out. I mean, back then, there was no movies. There was no Decepticon stickers for cars. There was just cartoons at 4 p.m. in the afternoon after school. And you see, back then, we didn't have the internet to explore options for toys. No, all we had was Encyclopedia Britannica. Anyone here remember Encyclopedia Britannica? Look around, young people, fossils. Look. Encyclopedia Britannica. But it didn't help you for toys. And growing up, you know, we didn't have a lot of money in our family. You know, my dad's wallet was like an onion. Every time he opened it, it made him cry. And that's how we sort of grew up. But it didn't affect my asking. I just kept asking for that Optimus Prime. And I remember waking up that one Christmas day, and under the tree, there was Optimus Prime. Now, you've got to understand something. That's what I was asking for. Well, Jesus tells a similar story in Matthew chapter 7. He said, if your earthly father knows how to give you good gifts, how much more does your heavenly father? You see, have you ever done that with God? You ever thinking, what's the limit on God? How much is too much? Can I ask for a promotion at work? Can I ask for a better opportunity in my career? Can I ask for a house, a raise, a miracle provision? Can I ask for healing completely in my body? Maybe you're a single girl here tonight and you're just asking for a man that wears deodorant. And that's all it takes, Lord. That's all I need, Lord. Just a bit of deodorant on him. And I'll say yes. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I want to look at a Bible story tonight about enlarging your asking capacity. I'm going to turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to read the story of Elijah and Elisha. Now, you've got to understand something. In Bible times, Elijah, he's the man. Okay, he's the prophet, he's the man of God, he's the anointed of God, he's the big deal. And then there's this young guy, Elisha. And Elisha's just following Elijah around everywhere. But he's been seeing these miracles that Elijah does. He's been watching Elijah for a long time and seeing this relationship that Elijah has with God and seeing the miracles that God does through Elijah. And so we pick the story up in chapter 2, verse 17, and it says, 50 men from the company of prophets went out and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan River. And Elijah took his cloak and he rolled it up and he struck the water with it. And the waters divided from the right to the left. And the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Another miracle that Elisha sees Elijah do. Then in verse 9 it says, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken away from you? And Elisha says this. He says, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. He says, you've asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet, if you see me when I'm taking it from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will be not. You see, here's the thing. Elisha is watching Elijah do all these miracles. And then Elijah says, hey, when I'm taken with the Lord and I go on to eternity, he goes, what do you want to ask me for? And Elisha says, I want a double portion of what you have. That's enlarging your asking capacity right there. You see, some of us may have been shocked by that response and pegged him as a little bit arrogant and said, hold up, Elisha. You're just the rookie here and you're asking for a double of what Elijah has been doing? I mean, you need to be grateful just for the privilege of serving such a man of God like Elijah. You need to just count yourself fortunate. Calm down a little bit, Elisha, because you should be grateful that he just entrusts you with the ministry. But I want you to notice something here tonight. Elisha wasn't timid and Elijah wasn't offended. Catch that for a moment. Elisha wasn't timid and Elijah wasn't offended. You see, too often we don't ask the Lord because we're too timid. And we don't ask because we think God will be too offended by what I'm asking for. Well, that's too much, or I don't deserve that, or I couldn't ask God for that. And so we fail to ask God at all. But what happened for Elisha? Elisha got a double portion of what he was asking for. And in the Bible, it records that he went on to do double the amount of miracles that Elijah did. Stop placing a limit on God by how little your asking is. You see, you need to enlarge your asking capacity. We've got a couple in our church, Caleb and Shanoa, a great couple, big family, and during the COVID season in New South Wales, both of them, their jobs were made redundant. They both work for the same company, married couple, both lost their jobs in the same week. And obviously you can imagine the a hardship, and maybe even some of you here know what that's like. And you got to think, well, they had the loss of a double income, and there's the mortgage, and then there's the kids, and then there's the schooling, and then there's the fees, and then there's the bills, and then there's the food, and all of this. And so Caleb told me, he said, but you know what, that Friday when we lost our jobs, we went before God on that Friday night, and we started asking God. He said, we just started asking God for more. He said, we were believing that what's going to come next is going to be better. We're believing that God can do the impossible in this situation. And they started, and he told me this. He said, I specifically started to ask standing on the word. And I like that. He said, I had this word over our lives, and it was a verse. And he said, I just started standing and asking on that word. Well, he got made redundant with his wife on Friday, but over the weekend, he got offered a job to start on the Monday. And get this, the new job, the pay was more than double their previous combined salary, with better hours, with a better working environment, which enabled his wife to stay home with the kids, which she always wanted to do. Hey, I tell you that because sometimes we need to enlarge our asking capacity. You're always going to face limitation. You're always going to face the impossible. You're always going to face the unpredictable. But we need to keep knowing that our God is bigger, that our God is mightier, and that our God is stronger than whatever it is that's coming against us. You see, God doesn't run out of supply. He's not running on empty or bare minimum. He's not limited by a pandemic or a shutdown. No, heaven's resources are not depleted, they're not lacking, they're not bankrupt, dried up, or run out. No, heaven's resources are at your disposal and ready for dispatch. The Bible says in Ephesians 3, verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask. Come on, all we can ask. And think, you need to get your asking out of the place of overcome and into the place of overflow. Come on, that's your God, you see. Take the limits off God. God has unlimited blessing, unlimited provision, unlimited favor, unlimited prosperity, unlimited grace, unlimited strength, unlimited forgiveness, unlimited mercy, unlimited supply for your life. Heaven's not in a recession. You see, here's the thing. He says in Psalm 2, verse 8, ask me, the Lord says, ask me, and I'll make the nations your inheritance and to the ends of the earth your possession. Think about it. He's willing to give you the nations as your inheritance. But how big is your asking capacity? You see, when you ask God, God doesn't say, now, make your request reasonable, make your request sparingly. No, he wants you to ask exceedingly and abundantly and above. Stop asking God according to your limitations and start asking God according to his revelations, the word for your life. Think about what has no limits. Think about what has no limits. Hungry Jack's drinks. Hungry Jack's drinks. You guys have Hungry Jack's here in South Australia? Do they have unlimited refills? In New South Wales, we have unlimited refills, Hungry Jack's drinks. They're just unlimited. Hey, some restaurants, all-you-can-eat restaurants, unlimited food. Does anyone remember the restaurant Sizzler? Did you guys have Sizzler? People used to fly in from New Zealand just to have a meal from Sizzler. I'm telling you, it was unlimited food. Well, can I tell you that everything about your God is unlimited? He's not limited by this season, by your restriction. He's not limited. He's an unlimited God. We need to enlarge our asking capacity. Remember the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, who gave birth to John the Baptist. I want to read you just a few verses from that passage found in Luke chapter 1. Start in verse 13, and it says, but the angel reassured him. This is the angel speaking to Zechariah. Don't be afraid, Zechariah. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. He says, God is showing you grace to you, for I've come to tell you that your prayer for a child has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to name him John. So cool. And then it goes on, and it says down in verses 18, Zechariah asked the angel, how do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man and my wife is too old to give me a child. What sign can you give me that proves this will happen? Then the angel said, I am Gabriel and I stand before God himself, and he sent me to announce this news to you, this good news. But now, since you did not believe my words, you will be stricken silent and unable to speak until the day that my words have been fulfilled at their appointed time, and the child will be born to you. You see, think about this story. Here's Zechariah. Now, he's asking God for the impossible, because he's asking for a child. In verse 7 of this story, it tells us that Elizabeth was barren and unable to have children. And here's Zechariah, and he's asking the Lord, and the Lord says, Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. Your prayers have been answered. But then he couldn't believe how God was going to do this. He says in verse 18, how do you expect me to believe this? Watch this. I want to show you something. Because when it comes to your asking, I think we're in a similar story to Zechariah for our lives. Because too often we get stuck on the how rather than the who. That's what's happening for Zechariah. All of your attention and all of your thinking and all of your focus is consumed with, well, how will this happen, rather than who is able to do it. It's not your job to know the how. It's your job to know the who. Because he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly. But too many times we struggle with this like Zechariah did. We don't know how God is able to bless us, heal us, provide for us, do a miracle for us. And if nothing happens over time, we start talking unbelief, confessing our negativity, blaming the situation, reliving our disappointments, dragging up losses from the past. We start talking about the things that didn't happen and couldn't happen and wouldn't happen. But look at what God did to Zechariah because of that unbelieving talk. In verse 20, but since you did not believe my words, you'll be stricken silent, unable to speak. You see, God would rather shut our mouths than hear our negative, unbelieving confession. The language of faith is more important to God than speaking words of doubt, fear, and unbelief. You see, the reason you can ask largely, the reason you can ask abundantly and extravagantly is because of one word. And this is one word I just want you to get. This is why you can ask. I'll tell you one word. Love. Love. You see, when you get the revelation that God loves you, that he just loves you unconditionally, without limitation, unrestricted, that God's love is so strong for you. Can I say it's easy to put faith in someone who loves you? It's easy to speak the language of faith to someone who loves you. It's easy to trust in someone who loves you. And you've got a God that sent his only son, that he loves so much you because of his love. You see, when you understand that revelation that God loves me, that God wants me to succeed, God wants me to be blessed, God wants me to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, God wants me to rise up and be all I can be. So how do you enlarge your asking capacity? I want to learn from Elisha how you and I can enlarge your asking capacity. Here's the first thing. Number one, ask specifically. Ask specifically. You see, watch this. Elisha wasn't shy and he wasn't timid in asking Elijah. He had a boldness. He knew exactly what he was asking for. He was asking for a double portion. He was very specific. In James 4 verse 2, it says, you do not have because you do not ask God. You have not because you ask not. You say, we pray prayers all the time. God bless me. God bless me. And I feel like sometimes God's looking down and going, where? Where do you want me to bless you? Is it in your work? Is it in your family? Is it in your finance? Is it in your health? Where do you want me to bless you? But we're like, God, bless me. And I feel like God's saying, where do you want that blessing? You need to get specific, like Elisha was, with what you're asking for. Now, I know that this will upset some people because they will, oh, well, you can't get specific with God. You can't ask God for that. You can't ask God for a job promotion, a raise in your salary, that investment, a new car, a new house. Well, I want to tell you tonight, yes, you can. When you get the revelation that God loves you and you ask with the right motives, yes, you can. You see, James 4 verse 2 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. You see, but when someone kingdom-minded asks with kingdom motives, God brings kingdom blessing. We got a lady in our church, and they're an elderly couple. They're in their 60s, and they've rented all of their lives. And she recently became a Christian, and got saved, and started hearing this language of faith and asking God and believing God. She got so passionate in her faith. One day she was at home and she was praying. She said, God, you know what I really need? She said, I actually need a home of my own. I need my own house. And so she started asking God for a house, believing God for a house. She told some of her Christian friends, and you know what some of them said? They said, oh, you're asking too much. They said, you're a new Christian. You should start off for asking God for small things like slippers. Slippers. Well, she went home as a new Christian and she started praying and she said, God, I don't really need slippers, but what I do need is a house. I'm believing God. So she kept persevering. She said, I just decided to persevere. And I love that because in Luke 18, it talks about the persistent prayer of the widow that persevered. And she said, I just kept praying. I just kept believing. And then one day her neighbor, her and her husband go over to her neighbor's house, once a week just for coffee, and they sit down for half an hour. He's an elderly man and they look after him and they care for him. And they went over, after about 3 months of praying and believing God, they went over for their normal catch-up and they sat down with their neighbor. And their neighbor, this elderly gentleman, looked across as though having a cup of tea and he said, you know, he said, I'm getting on in my years. He said, my wife passed away 5 years ago. I have no kids. All of my relatives have died. He said, I'm the only one left. And he said, so I just wanted to tell you today that I've put both of you in my will. And I'm giving you this house. And I'm giving you $60,000 to do renovations or whatever you want to do. I want to tell you, when it comes to asking God, get specific with your God. Don't be shy. Get specific with Him. You need to enlarge your asking capacity. Here's the second thing. So number one, ask specifically. Here's the second one. Number two, ask boldly. Ask boldly. You see, Elisha, he wasn't shy or timid in what he was asking Elijah. He had a boldness on him because he trusted in the one who he was asking. You see, church, you can get bold when you trust in the one whom you're asking. Matthew 7 verse 7 says, ask and it will be given to you, says the Lord. Think about the prayer of Jabez in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 9 verse 10, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And watch this, and God granted his request. You think about it, he cried out to God, he said, enlarge my territory. He said, put your hand on me. He said, keep me from harm. He said, protect me. But I love that last bit. And God granted his request. That's a bold prayer right there. I mean, there's been books written about that one prayer. Why? Because it's such a bold prayer. You know, Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace Can I say, you and I, you don't need to be timid, you don't need to be shy, you don't need to be bashful, you don't need to be cautious or hesitant when you come before your God. You've got free access to come boldly into His throne room. Why? Because He loves you. Stop asking God out of what you lost. Start asking God out of what He can loose. You see, ask boldly. Ask boldly. Only two times in Scripture that caused Jesus to marvel. One was a Roman centurion soldier, where Jesus marveled at the boldness of his great faith. The other time was when Jesus was in his hometown and he marveled at their unbelief. Hey, what in your life is causing Jesus to marvel? Is it unbelief? Or is it the boldness of your faith? We need to enlarge our asking capacity. So ask specifically, ask boldly. And here's the third thing, ask in His name. Ask in His name. You see, Elijah, he worshipped the God of Yahweh. And Elisha knew that God, Yahweh. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus said this, John 14, verse 13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. I will do whatever you ask in my name. Elisha, he knew that name, Yahweh. He'd seen Yahweh do miracle after miracle after miracle. He knew the power of that name. And Jesus gave us His name. You see, when it comes to your asking, stop asking according to the feelings that you're in right now, according to the emotions that are going on right now. Because if you ask in that, you'll get more caught up in your feelings and emotions rather than faith in the Word. Don't ask according to your circumstances. Ask according to God's promises. You see, I've got to stop asking for that and start asking according to who He is and what He can do. You know, this year, what a crazy year. So many things that have happened. And for us, it was even more crazy. My wife got diagnosed with cancer. And it was thyroid cancer. And I know there's all different levels and variations of cancers. But you know what the reality is? No one likes hearing that word cancer. First thing it does is it usually puts fear into people. Did for me and Ketty. Straight away, you start thinking worst case scenario. You start hear that word cancer. And I remember when she got that report and she called me and there was quiver in her voice. And I said, right, come home. And we went straight and we opened up the Bible. And we opened up the Word of God to Psalm 112 that says, the righteous man shall have no fear of bad news, but his heart is steadfast and trusting in the Lord. And I said, babe, no matter what happens, we're just going to keep trusting in God. We're going to keep trusting in His name. Because there's power in that name. And so we started to pray and believe, but you got to understand, it's a season that you go through. It's not just overnight. You know, sometimes it is. Miracles happen. But for us, it was a season we had to go through this year where a seasons of tests and a seasons of bad reports and seasons of negatives and operations and all of this stuff. And what do you do when it feels like that, you know, it's not working? What you're doing is not working, but yet faith keeps walking. And so we just kept walking, kept believing, kept trusting, and then had the operation and finally come back and praise God, it was all clear. Cancer is completely gone. Ketty's completely cancer-free. But I want to share with you something. See, you'd say, how Sanger, can you just believe for healing and miracles and when knowing that last year, Ketty's dad died from cancer. So last year, her dad died from cancer. Here lies the big problem for so many of us. Because we bring the level of our asking down to the level of what we're facing. We bring the level of our faith down to the level of what we've experienced. But you see, when you ask in His name, you've got to bring the level of your asking up to the level of God's name. Because there's power in that name. There's healing in that name. There's miracles in that name. There's provision in that name. There's blessing in that name. There's protection in that name. There's deliverance in that name. Oh, there's favor in that name. There's breakthrough in that name. There's mercy in that name. There's forgiveness in that name. There's joy in that name. You've got to bring the level of your asking up to the level of God's name. He's a God that does exceedingly and abundantly and above all you can ask or think. Come on, let's get the worship team up here. And if you guys can play that song that you just finished playing. What was that song? Yeah, Fight the Battle. What a great song. Fight the Battles. Who feels like fighting some battles tonight? I feel like winning some battles. I feel like winning some battles in Jesus' name. You see, Hebrews 10 verse 23 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. You know the Greek word for confession, it's the word homologia, which literally means to come into agreement with. So when it comes to your asking to God, keep bringing your confession into agreement with God's word. That's what the word homologia means, to bring into agreement with. The word ask, to bring into agreement with. Keep bringing the level of your asking into up to the level of God's word. John 15 verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. The Greek word in this passage for ask is the word to demand. Think about that. You will demand what you wish and I will do it for you. That's the Greek word for ask in this passage. Now, you're not demanding Jesus do this. No, you're not demanding Jesus do this. No, you're demanding sickness, leave this body in Jesus' mighty name. You're demanding, devil, get your hands off my family, off my finance, off my children's lives in Jesus' name. You're demanding that circumstance that is outside of your control to line up with the will and word of God for your life. You're taking a stand. When you start asking specifically, you start asking boldly, and you start asking in the name of Jesus. We need to enlarge our asking capacity. It's time to ask specifically, ask boldly, and ask in His name.
Hello, thank you so much for watching this video today. I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I'll tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about Him, He loved you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed His love. So He sent His Son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, He said, I will take their place. So He died and rose again so that His death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and His life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite Him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good and loves you. He's a father, He's a friend, and you can invite Him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe He's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I pray you forgive me for my past and you walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know your grace, your forgiveness, your peace, your purpose, your joy, and your hope into my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer, or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.